Did you miss Canty and Carlin?
Close but no cigar for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It is Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. It is Wednesday.
Hump day! Yeah! I don't know why that doesn't get old to me.
It really doesn't
to. But you know what's getting old to me?
Oh, I know.
The two non-believers, man. It happened again on Get Up with Dominique Foxworth and Kimberly Martin. And big fella, I'll say this. I hate the two non-believers because they have put me in a position where I almost have to root against the kid because they staunchly defend one outstanding performance for a guy that's been in the NFL for 3 years. I hate that they've put me in that position.
Yeah, it's never fun when you're put in that position. I've had it happen many times before, but yet here we are, and I'm right there with you.
Man, now. You know what? This week, I just wanted to end one way or the other.
Well, it's not going to.
This week against the Buffalo Bills, it's got to end one way or the other.
Well, he's not going to play well against the Bills this week. I'd be shocked if he played well.
Well, listen, I either want him to play outstanding or I want him to go down in flames. I want it to be one or the other. I want it to be an extreme just so everybody can have a clear position on it.
Yeah,
that's it. That's all I want.
Unfortunately, I don't think you're going to get what you want. I think he'll play well enough to continue to tick you off. And
continue to be the most polarizing player in the NFL.
That's where we are with him. But let's get to the story of the moment, and that is within the last couple of hours, finding out that Mike Evans' suspension is going to be upheld by the NFL. James Thrash, who is the former player, was the guy that was tasked with listening to the appeal last night. Decided to stay and not make any changes to the suspension. So now the Buccaneers find themselves extremely thin at wide receiver. Here is Todd Bowles.
Well, we have depth. You know, anytime you lose quite a few guys at one spot, you got to worry a little bit. But we got guys that need to step up and make plays, and we kept them around for a reason, so they just got to go in and perform.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, it's one thing when you have Tom Brady and you can weather that storm a little bit more. I don't know if you have the right Tom Brady of years past. You now have a problem on your hands for this week against a team that traditionally does not play well in Florida. For whatever reason, Aaron Rodgers hates playing in Florida and usually is on the short end of the stick down there. But this is a week where he has problems with receivers as well. Those aren't going away. But I think this really, really hurts the Bucs this week.
Well, yeah, I think it hurts the Bucs, but let's be clear about this situation. I don't like the receiving core for either one of these quarterbacks going into this game.
No.
I don't like the offensive lines for either one of these quarterbacks going into this game. What I think it's going to come down to is the run game on offense and how well the defenses play. And if you're asking me right now through the first 2 weeks, which team do I trust the most in both those regards? I would have to say the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, as strange as it sounds, Carlin, and you mentioned how bad Aaron Rodgers plays when he goes down to Florida. The last time he played in Tampa, didn't he throw two pick sixes?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't great. And the last time he played this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team was in the NFC Championship game 2 years ago. How'd that work out for him?
Yeah.
Not great.
Mm-hmm.
So all I'm simply saying is, if you're asking me who has the edge in this game, I'm going to side with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because they have the much better defense. Tampa's defense might be the best in all of football.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're the best in defensive EPA. They're the best in scoring. They're the best when it turns to sacks and are third in takeaways with six. I mean, this is a lights-out defense. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, they have the best opposing QBR allowed in the National Football League. Opposing quarterbacks' average QBR is 18. So good luck against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense.
Look, they're exceptionally good. They're exceptionally good, and they were doing it to Dak before he got hurt in that game late in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that either. And they also do run the football well, but I wonder, when you are sending out Jalen Darden and Kalen Geiger, two guys I could not pick out of a lineup at wide receiver behind Russell Gage, Breshad Perriman, and Scotty Miller, I mean, come on. That's going to be a little bit of a factor. And, Chris, we have to admit that when those are not exactly threats, that can affect the run game. That can say, all right, you know what? Our guys will be able to handle this. Let's go make sure they can't run the ball.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure Adrian Amos is going to be a lot closer to the line of scrimmage now that those guys are not going to be in the game. But here's the thing I'll ask you, Carlin. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist. This is not revisionist history. I'm just asking the question. If you're Tom Brady, was creating the situation that you did late in that game against the Saints and getting everybody fired up, the incident that led to Mike Evans getting suspended, if all of that is what led to you being able to win that game, a division game against the team you struggle with in the regular season on the road, is that not more important than winning a game against the Green Bay Packers in week three?
I'm glad you asked me that question. Is it more important to have fired up your team in that spot if he did it on purpose?
Yes, that's what you're asking me. Fired up his team, knowing that that led to them winning the game.
All right, two things. Number one, I went back and watched the whole thing this morning again.
Yeah.
I don't know that he did it on purpose because he was trying to fire them up.
Yeah.
That's one that
he may not have. And he may well not have. It might not have been on purpose. It could be one of those things that is coincidental.
Well,
the result is the same.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that didn't fire up the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
It did.
And you can't tell me that it made the New Orleans Saints go the opposite way.
It did.
Okay.
But am I going to say that's going to carry over another week?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm saying.
It did in the moment.
It's not about it carrying over another week.
So winning the game was
worth it.
It's
about them banking a division game on the road against a team that they struggle
with.
Like the importance of the regular season game.
Sure.
The game against the New Orleans Saints in the Superdome is more important than the game that you got at Raymond James against the Green Bay Packers this weekend.
I'm going a little bit deeper into Tom's brain than I probably should here, and you're not going to love it.
What's up?
I'm just going to tell you in advance, you're not going to love it. I think it's another part of all the frustration of everything going on right now.
No, I'm not saying that.
I'm saying
no,
that.
No, and that's fair, but I'm just asking a question. Is it fair to look
at it
that way?
Yeah, no, I think it's fair to look at it that way.
Because you can say, okay, not having Mike Evans, that probably is going to lead to
struggling to win
against the Green Bay Packers.
Right,
and
a divisional win
is more important than beating the Green Bay Packers.
Yes, especially when it's against a team that you have not been able to beat.
Yeah.
And you need to get over the hump against that team.
Exactly.
That's all fair. That's all completely fair. But I do think it's a problem this week. And I do think we need to monitor what's going on with these receivers, with Julio Jones and Chris Godwin, because I think more than ever before, who is actually catching the ball is more important than it ever has been to Tom Brady.
Yeah.
You know, Chris, I think you're even seeing it in New England a little bit. Look at who the receivers are for the Patriots. Maybe Bill even took that for granted, that Tom could make those many guys better, and we'll just take these receivers and we can make it work with Nelson Aguilar and Jacoby Myers, who are solid, but they're nothing spectacular. You know, maybe they took it for granted, and they're seeing that right now. But the point being, I do think that we got to be careful here, because if you're going to count on Tom being a force multiplier this year, he may be, but not to the level that it has been.
Yeah.
Not to the level that it has.
One thing that we have to watch that could be under the radar in this game is the running backs as receivers out of the backfield, both sides. I mean, Aaron Jones, Leonard Fournette, those guys being more of a factor in the passing game, just because it's clear that both of these quarterbacks are going to struggle in terms of chemistry with the receivers that they're going to have available.
Hmm.
So something to think about.
Here, by the way, is Todd Bowles on the idea of the guy that we didn't bring up here, Cole Beasley.
Well, we'll see right now. You know, he hadn't played in a while, so he's been on the street, really. So we got to see what he knows and what kind of shape he's in, and then we'll kind of go from there.
Look, I don't expect Cole Beasley to come in. I mean, Scotty Miller's a better deep threat than Cole Beasley, but you think Cole Beasley walks in the door and immediately makes them a whole lot better?
No, but Cole Beasley is a veteran and knows how to get open and underneath zones and present a target for Tom Brady. Again, a safety valve. I don't think he's a difference maker, but he's another guy that could be reliable for Tom in a pinch. That's what I think they're looking at it as, best case scenario.
Cantia Carlin, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. In 30 seconds, we get the thoughts of a former Bucs wide receiver, and a pretty darn good one at that, right after Chris has this from Indeed.
If the weather is cooling off, but luckily your business is staying hot, you need to hire. You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring solution makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates with tools like Instant Match. The moment you sponsor a post, you'll instantly receive a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. And You can even schedule and conduct interviews all from the Indeed website. Visit Indeed.com/credit to get $75 toward your first sponsored job.
Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Right now, we welcome in co-host of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. It is Keyshawn Johnson, the former Buck, Jet, Cowboys wide receiver, joining us right now. Key, Canty and Carlin, how you doing, man?
I'm doing just great with Indeed.
Ah, you see the professionalism in my voice, yes. Key. The professionalism. Yes. I'm glad you appreciate that.
You made me laugh just now. I'm sitting there.
Key, that's my corporate voice now. That's not my locker room voice in Valley Ranch. That's my corporate voice now, Key. Come on now. Don't knock the hustle, brother. You know what it is.
Hey, look, I said if his ghetto ass don't stop,
Hey, Key, I'm going to need you to do me a favor, man. You got to get your host, Max Kellerman, to stop wearing them dusty-ass Air Force Ones. If you could do that for me, I would appreciate it. I came in there again today, and I didn't say nothing to J. Will. I didn't say nothing to Kmart or Max. All I did was peek at Max's footwear, and it's these same dusty Air Force Ones. I'm not trying to be in nobody's pockets, but Max make way too much money to be wearing them old dusty Air Force Ones. Help me out, Key. I'm saying.
Well, that's the first thing I told him. They pan, the camera pan to Kimberly's Jordans, and then they pan to Max's, and I told the cameraman, I said, man, go back to Max's shoes. I said, wait a minute, Max, why in the hell are you wearing some 13 wear Air Force Ones when you know they're only good for 5 wears, and you give them away at that point? You make too much money to look like you found them in somebody's damn garbage can, boy. So I was only just like you.
13. I think more like 30.
That could be, hey, Carlin, that could be true, too. It could have been a 30 wear. But we all know that you can't wear Air Force One more than a week. And you got to give, at that point, you're going to have to give them to somebody. If you all about that fashion, you're going to have to give them away because they're going to curl up in the front. The shoelaces is going to turn yellow on you. It's a bad look for a guy like Max Kellerman. Yes, I am in his pocketbook. He makes too much damn money, period.
Those Air Force Ones look like they were from before Jordan was planned. Hey, Kay, let's get into some football, and specifically the Mike Evans situation. The Bucs, as thin as they are at receiver right now, your take on how this sets them up now for this week against the Packers?
You know, it's tough. I would say that Green Bay probably has the better receiving core. I mean, they got Perryman. They signed Cole Beasley, which doesn't mean anything to me. What is it, Skylar Miller? And then you got you may have a broke-down Julio Jones. And that's pretty much it, right? So, in the end, I know they went out and got Cole Beasley. Everybody's like, oh! I said to myself, I said, okay, he'll play in the slot. He'll catch some balls on third down. But that ain't no ooh-wee moment. That's just a guy in a uniform catching some passes from one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. So, they still got Leonard Fournette. They still got a solid defense.
Key, how concerned should we be after that fourth quarter we saw from Jameis on Sunday? Because really, it's been a tale of two fourth quarters through the first 2 weeks of the regular season. He balled in the fourth quarter against Atlanta. Then he had multiple turnovers in the fourth quarter against Tampa. Which one is the real Jameis Winston? And are you concerned about who's throwing passes to your nephew?
You know, I'm not concerned. What I am concerned about is Jameis Winston's health, okay? I think people, as you tell these stories about Jameis Winston and have this conversation about Jameis, nobody's having the conversation that the guy is playing with a fractured back. You know, and I think that that's a disservice to who Jameis is, because if it was other quarterbacks in the National Football League that had back issues, they certainly would bring that to the attention of a Matthew Stafford. Oh, Matthew Stafford, he has 9 cracked bones in his back, and he's out here playing. Like, give the same due to Jameis as we do everybody else. Now, here's what I would say. As you know and I know, it doesn't really matter because your butt is out on the field. So you need to be able to produce. If you're going out there, go out there and do better than what you did this last game in the fourth quarter. Missed targets on Chris Olave several times down the field, you know, and so you knew right then and there when he was throwing the ball, I said he's putting everything into it because something's bothering him and that something is his back.
Keyshawn Johnson, a co-host of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max with us. And let's I've always been curious about this, Key. We see there are some receivers, I think, who are made better by who their quarterback is. So take me through what's going on in Green Bay right now. Aaron Rodgers and the lack of a top wideout right now and how that's going to play out here.
But is he really, you know, when you look at it, okay, so they got Sammy Watkins, they got Lazor, they got Randall Cobb, Watson, and Romeo Doubs. If you look at what happened against Minnesota, he threw the ball a few places and the guys dropped it. Then you look at Chicago, they didn't need to do a whole lot. They did what they needed to do to get out of there. I think they still can take advantage and get over the top with Lazar and some other guys in the position against the Buccaneers' dominant defense, because if you look and you see what New Orleans was able to do, they was able to get over the top. Jameis couldn't connect. And these guys have got to catch it and not drop it when Aaron Rodgers is delivering it. The growth process for a young receiver, as I've mentioned many times over and explained many times over to not only you, Carlin, but to others, it's going to take time to get up to speed at the level that we are used to seeing from Adams and Rodgers. But if we go back to 2014, we didn't see Adams and Rodgers in Nelson. It didn't look like it looked in the end when the product was finished. So I'm willing to give them the opportunity and just wait it out and see if these guys are up to snuff, which I believe that they are.
Key, after his 6-touchdown performance in week 2, Tua might be the most polarizing player in the entire NFL. Where exactly are you on Tua Non? Are you sold that he's a franchise quarterback, or do you need to see more?
Yeah, you're not gonna package him up and sell him to me. It ain't you can get that to somebody else. He was fine in week 1. He was fine in week 2. I understand. He threw for 500 yards, almost 506 touchdowns, and the Ravens blew about 3 coverages. But one thing you're not going to do to me, you're not going to package it up, put a bow on it, make it all sparkly and sprinkly, and just say, hey, look, see? No. I'm good. I understand Tyreek Hill loves him. I love him, too, if he was throwing me balls and he was my quarterback. But I also don't think that he is going to be able to take them where they want to go. Where they want to go is to win the Super Bowl. I don't know that he – per se, doesn't mean the team, but him as the quarterback can do the things that he did late in the game against a Baltimore Raven team, because the team, like they play Buffalo. Buffalo's not going to allow Tyreek Hill to do the things that him and Jalen Waddle did late in game against the Ravens, because they're not going to blow coverages. Leslie Frazier's not going to put them out there and have them looking at, you know, that look Canty, when the guy get beat, he looking at the safety looking at him, they pointing at each other, they put their hands up.
Yep.
That ain't going to happen in Buffalo, right? I mean, let's be honest, that's not going to happen, nor do the Ravens have a Von Miller that can pin his ears back and wreck a game in a heartbeat at the age that he is.
Hello.
So you got to look at everything. I'm not hating on Tua. Everybody wants to say, oh, you hating on him. No, I'm just telling the truth. The problem is, you always want dudes like me to tell the truth, but when I tell the truth, you don't like it. I'm hating all of a sudden.
No, listen, you're welcome in this company because we're on board with you.
Amen.
Yep. Preach. Amen. Preach. Keyshawn.
Don't they be trying to package it up, though? Make it all pretty.
They sure do.
A lot of them are,
Key,
and I can't get over it. I mean, listen, more than anything, I'm just alarmed by what the Ravens secondary, like, did they think it was over and it was just, hey, we got 10 minutes to go, let's just let them run down the field and do whatever they want? I mean, come on.
Yeah, it was some messed up coverages. I know that for a fact.
Key, here's you all know, I need to know.
I've talked to some people.
You know who's done it? Matt Schaub has thrown for over 469 yards twice. That's what I know.
Matt Schaub. Stump the Schaub, man.
Key, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
All right. Keyshawn Johnson, Keyshawn J. Will, and Max. It's Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio. Want you to be a part of the Canty and Carlin Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. So hit us up at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation, presented by Dr. Pepper. It ain't college football season without the delicious taste of an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Massive news in the NBA that we have to get to in just moments. If you haven't heard it, you need to, and you will. Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Did you miss Canty and Carlin?
Well, the inevitable is happening, and that's a good thing. But I'm still annoyed. It's Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Robert Sarver announced today that he is going to be selling the Phoenix Suns.
Mm.
I need to take a deep breath for a second.
Yeah, yeah. And while you're doing that, I'm going to go ahead and read the statement that Robert Sarver issued today.
Well, this is why I'm ticked off.
No, I know, but I need to read the statement so our listeners can digest this, because it's tough to swallow. So
please enlighten them.
Here's the statement, and I quote. As a man of faith, I believe in atonement and a path to forgiveness. I expected that the commissioner's one-year suspension would provide the time for me to focus, make amends, and remove my personal controversy from the teams that I and so many fans love. But in our current unforgiving climate, it has become painfully clear that that is no longer possible, that whatever good I have done or still could do is outweighed by things I have said in the past. For those reasons, I am beginning the process of seeking buyers for the Suns and the Mercury. End quote.
Canty and Carlin are.
I hate you so much right now.
Kristoff.
Robert Sarver, just get out. Just get out. Just get out. You should have been gone at first. And somehow you weren't, but now clearly all of the owners have said, sell the team and get out of our way and stop sullying our organization. I could not get over Adam Silver just having a situation where he would only suspend him for a year and $10 million, and you were complaining about that. It's clear that you weren't going to go quietly, but here's what I'm hearing. An old rich man who has never been told no in his life screaming and yelling because he insulted people, because he used racially insensitive language not once, not twice, numerous times around people who worked for him, insinuated at one point when he's trying to figure out whether or not a person worked for him, asked him if he owned them, and then made several misogynistic comments over the years. A culture, a terrible culture. But because you're rich and have never been told no, you are the victim here. Shut up. Shut up. Get out. Take your $2.5 billion that you're going to get for selling the team, poor you, and just get out. Because you don't get it. You're not ever going to get it. Go buy an island. Disappear so we don't ever have to see you again. Because you are just flat out sickening. When you insult our intelligence, and one of the first things that you say, you lose me when you say as a man of faith, because a man of faith doesn't pull the garbage that you did and then complain about the fact that you're not getting forgiven. Forgiveness is earned. Forgiveness is not something that you're automatically going to get just because you've been around for 20 years making a fortune. You left that part out of your statement. I'm building communities here. You're also making a freaking fortune. And now you are going to sit there and tell us you're the victim. I don't like calling people names. You're a jackass. Get out.
It's disgusting, Carlin. And you're absolutely right. He's making a fortune. This team is going to sell for over $2 billion. Back in 2004, he bought his majority stake in the Suns and the Mercury for $400 million. So pretty damn good investment. And on the forgiveness end of it all, here's the thing, Carlin. You get forgiveness when you show genuine contrition. This statement does not show that you're apologetic in any regard. So how can you expect us to feel sorry for you after what you've done to your employees to make them feel small? It's disgusting. It's insulting to our intelligence. And I'm glad that the NBA eventually came to the right decision, because based on how this statement reads, Carlin, this is not a man that's willingly selling this team. This is Adam Silver and the rest of the board of governors saying, you know what? It's bad for business to have Robert Sarver associated with the NBA or the WNBA. But we don't want to completely roll one of our own. So what we're going to do is we're not going to make a public stink of it and force him to sell the team from the public standpoint, from the perception of it, but we're going to tell him to quietly go about his business and try to find a buyer for this team so he can fetch the maximum return on his investment. That's what this is all about. This is the NBA saying you're no longer going to be a part of the NBA. Here's the off-ramp. Here's your exit strategy. Take your $2 billion and go on about your business. But even Robert Sarver can't do that right, Carlin. And that's got to be what's so maddening about this statement. Adam Silver and the rest of the NBA governors have got to be pulling their hair out, because we're trying to help this guy out. We're trying to make sure that he gets the most money for his two franchises, and yet this guy is going to go kicking and screaming. It's absolutely ridiculous.
In our current unforgiving climate,
we'll forgive you if you're sorry for what you've done.
Which you're not.
You're not sorry.
You're not. In every way, the statement that you put out insults us even further. No, it doesn't insult us. It just makes you look like a bigger jackass and us happier that you're disappearing. Because that is just off the charts having a level of gall that I have never seen before. And Chris, here's how I know that somebody like this has never been told no. Because whoever wrote the statement for him, or whoever his PR person who says, yep, you got it, boss, that's the one, they never wanted to tell you no, because they know they'll get fired if they do. Because they know that you have absolutely no clue what you're doing when you say something like this.
Man, there's no way a PR guy wrote this.
No chance.
No shot. He wrote this on his own.
Or even saw it.
He wrote this on his own, and he didn't have anybody preview it. He said, this is what I'm putting out, and the tone be damned. This is how I feel, and I'm going to let it be known, Carlin. The reality is that Robert Sarver wanted to continue to be a part of the NBA and the WNBA, and the rest of the league told him no.
Chris.
And he didn't like it. And so now he's behaving like a petulant child.
This isn't about...
And unfortunately, he's going to be rewarded because he's going to get paid $2 billion.
And here's what's going to bother me even more about it. There are going to be people out there who are going to say, oh, this is cancel culture and all that. No. No, that's not what this is. This is creating an atmosphere around an organization for years and years and years and making it uncomfortable for people to be there.
No, not uncomfortable. It's a toxic workplace environment. It's comparable to what we heard about with the Washington Commanders that took place over decades.
And that's what we're dealing with.
That's what we're dealing with here. It's just that the NBA is a little more progressive than the NFL, and they decided that they were going to take this action.
And this is what...
And you know what? Here's the other thing, Carlin. Let's not understate the importance of players like LeBron James and Chris Paul saying the NBA fell short when it came to the initial discipline that it doled out to Robert Sarver. When Adam Silver came out and had that press conference and said that he could only go so far and he didn't think that the actions of Sarver rose to a level where we got to consider removing him as an owner, those players came out and said, Adam Silver, NBA league office, they got it wrong. They should do more. And here we are, what, a week and a half later, and now we're talking about Robert Sarver being forced to sell the team. That's what this is.
Yep.
He's being forced to sell the team. He doesn't want to sell the team. If he did, he wouldn't have this kind of tone in this statement. So Chris, he's being forced to sell the team, and the owners don't want to make a public stink of it because they want him to get the return on his investment. That's what they want.
This would have been over with 2 months ago whenever it was that the stories first came out, if it had been on tape. It would have been over with then. It would have been on the exact same par as what happened with Donald Sterling.
Yeah.
Exact same par.
Yeah.
And he would have been, I guarantee you this, Adam Silver would have had the exact same press conference that he had when Donald Sterling was up there and we all applauded him for it. And in this case, there's no tape. And when there's tape, it makes it that much more appalling to all of us. When there's no tape, it becomes, well, it just must be he said, he said. Well, no, it wasn't. Because they fined you $10 million and suspended you for a year, so you did something, and you admitted you did something in that statement.
Quick question, because I know we're up against it. How do we feel about Adam Silver now?
I think for the most part, Adam Silver has been an outstanding commissioner. I was disappointed in how this was handled.
But now that we're here with Robert Sarver selling the team.
It took a while to get here.
It did.
And I think they forced him to.
It took longer than it should have.
Yes, because he's going kicking and screaming.
He is. But I feel like Adam Silver has a role in that. And so maybe I'm softening on my initial stance toward the discipline that Adam Silver doled out.
I think that's true. But again, were any of the facts any different just because they weren't on tape?
No.
That's where I come down on it. Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. We'll lighten things up a bit. I promise you.
We need to.
Yeah, we absolutely do. I'm looking forward to talking to Devin McCourty, the 3-time Super Bowl champion, is going to join us. Chris and I are doing, we are the announcers on ESPN Radio for the Patriots and the Ravens this coming Sunday up in Foxborough. We're looking forward to that. We'll have a few laughs with him. Darius Butler's going to join us. David Cohn is going to join us later in the show to talk about the ridiculous chase that Aaron Judge is on right now. And that's where we're going next. If you had a chance to earn life-altering money, would you hand it all back immediately? If somebody handed you a winning lottery ticket, would you give it back? Somebody did. Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio.
Robert Sarver announced he's begun the process to sell both the Phoenix Suns and Phoenix Mercury.
To take the franchise away is one thing, but to make sure there's enough public pressure to say, sell your damn team.
It absolutely did accelerate his decision.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yo, check this out from Canty and Carlin.
I found something out about you earlier today, and I'm a little, I wouldn't say surprised, but you ever watched Ted Lasso?
No, I didn't get into Ted Lasso.
You're not into it, or did you try to watch
it? No, I never got into it. It was always one of those things that my fiance, now wife, talked about starting a series, but we've got so many shows going on, man, it's hard to keep track of everything.
Well, here's why it was so good.
I'm still catching up on Mad Men.
Yeah, well, me too, on that front. My wife's watched it like three times, and I'm only halfway through. But anyway, that aside, the thing about Ted Lasso is it really came in the middle of the pandemic, and it's a very feel-good show, and that's why it was so popular, and I love it. I think it's great. Having said that, AFC Richmond, which is the name of the team that he is, that Jason Sudeikis is the coach of, is going to be in the new FIFA game that is coming out, which I think is kind of cool.
That's awesome.
But it also kind of got us to thinking, like, what fictional team would you want in a video game?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm going to go, I'll tell you what, because it's one of my favorite movies, and the head coach is loosely based off of a coach that I played for, I'm going to go with the Miami Sharks from Any Given Sunday, with Willie Beeman as my quarterback, LL Cool J as my running back, Terrell Owens as my receiver. He was actually my receiver in real life on one of my teams. And then Lawrence Taylor as our star defensive player, with Jim Brown as our defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah. Love it.
I'm sorry. I'm not buying Bill Bellamy as a big play receiver. I am not throwing him the football.
That's why I said T.O. I got Terrell Owens. Terrell Owens was in the movie. I'll take T.O.
And Pacino was hanging out watching Parcells getting ready for that movie when he was studying about
it. Well, that's why I said.
Yeah, Loosely based on it. I thought that was excellent.
Best pregame speech I've ever heard in my life.
Really?
From Al Pacino.
So yes. I was gonna
best pregame speech I've ever heard. As a matter of fact, Carlin, I would actually play that speech in my locker pregame before I go play an NFL game.
Wow,
that's how good that speech is.
That's awesome.
One of the best pregame
speeches. Better than Coughlin before the Super Bowl.
I'm trying to, Carlin. I'm telling you, the best pregame speech I've ever heard.
Wow.
Okay. Congratulations to Oliver Stone.
That's pretty good.
Nailed it.
That's pretty good. I love Any Given Sunday. Anytime it's on, I will not turn it off.
No.
I would want the Cleveland Indians from Major League. That's what I would want. I want Serrano. I want, you know, Jake Taylor.
Wild Thing.
Yeah, I want Roger Dorn up there to get drilled. All that stuff.
Lean into it, Dorn.
Give me Eddie Harris, the old jump baller.
Yeah. Oh, Shoop.
Shoop. Yeah, give me that.
Oh, plus you have to have the booth guy, too.
Yeah, Euchre.
Robert Sarver.
Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. The Aaron Judge thing, Chris, I admittedly, I probably saw about three innings of that game last night as I was working to get ready for our game on Sunday.
Yeah.
With the Ravens and the Patriots. And so Judge comes up, and I have to say, like, I shouldn't have been surprised, and I wouldn't even use the word surprised here, but I was pleasantly engaged in the crowd reaction to the whole thing. And 60 is a huge number. I get that.
Yeah.
But because of the differentiation between, you know, the Bonds record and all that stuff, you know, I didn't quite know what it would be like, but it was awesome to see. But I got one really big issue with what happened last night, and that is Michael Kessler. Who is Michael Kessler? He is the Yankees fan, young Yankees fan, I believe he's 20, who caught or got the Judge home run ball number 60. And it's estimated that that's probably worth somewhere around $100,000 to $200,000. He gave it back to Aaron Judge.
Before we go into that, can we just talk about what it took for Michael Kessler to get that baseball?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like a scrum at a bottom of a pile for a fumble.
Yeah.
That's what it was at that
moment. At that moment, I'm thinking, all right, what would I do if I'm under in the bottom of that pile? I would probably take the ball and, like, stick it in my pants or something like that.
You're talking about fighting against other grown men for a baseball that could be worth $200,000.
Yes.
That's what happened.
Like, you have to do that fumble drill that I see in practice where you curl up around the ball.
Yeah.
And just as tight as you can.
And even then, it still might be enough because those guys are probably punching and kicking and trying to get you to get that thing to let go.
I'm sure they are.
Yeah.
No question that somebody would be looking to punch you in the
groin. That's bringing out the worst in all of the fans out there.
So with that in mind.
So to go through all of that hell.
And the kid gave the ball back to Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge gave him a picture and a bat signed by him.
Oh, like, no, that ain't enough.
Dude, what are you doing? Like, I know you think you're being a good guy and doing all that. Aaron Judge is going to take every last damn dollar on the free agent market. Why would you? Do you have any idea what $100,000 could do for a 20-year-old kid starting a life? I mean, come on.
Carlin, think about it. If Aaron Judge wins the Triple Crown, him getting paid $400 million on a 10-year deal is not outside of the question.
No.
And if that's the case, Aaron Judge can pony up $200,000 for tying Babe Ruth for the all-time Yankee, well, the second most home runs in Yankees history.
We got to talk more about this kid's decision because this is a bad one.
Yeah, it's bad.
Check out Canty and Carlin weekdays on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus.